I've been looking forward to this next season of our church for many, many months now, because I believe the 40 Days in the Word campaign may be one of the most important spiritual growth campaigns, seasons that our church has ever been in. You say, why? Because why? Here's why. Because the goal of this 40-day emphasis that will begin next Sunday is to learn the Word, live the Word, and love the Word of God. Now, how many know the Bible says about itself that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword? The Bible says that the Word of the Lord will last forever. And so if we take the opportunity, as we learned last week, to center our lives around God's Word, good things are going to happen to us and be part of it. And so today, my challenge to you, to everyone here today, is to make sure that you are part of this campaign. Now, on your chair today, there's a commitment card that we're going to ask everybody to respond to at the end of the service today. Let me give you a little bit of a highlight of what's going to be happening. There are several components that are going to be taking place for the 40 Days in the Word campaign. There's a sermon component. There's a small group component. There's a devotional Bible study component. And then there's a scripture memory component. And again, we want to challenge children are going to be, Pastor Jason in the children's church, they're going to be doing the same thing. All the teenagers are going to be doing the same thing. Young adults, adults, we're all going to be doing this emphasis on Bible study. Now, let's take a little bit of a look at what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks on Sunday mornings. Because on Sunday mornings, we and several of the other pastors, we're going to tag team preach most of these messages, and we're going to share these types of things. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the inspiration of the Bible. Why can I trust the Bible? How many know that the Bible continues to take a lot of criticism these days? That it's flawed, that lots of things were lost in the interpretation. The Bible needs updated. How many have heard anybody say any of those things? Well, next week we're going to learn how the Bible is the final authority on everything and you can trust the Bible. You'll definitely want to be here for that next Sunday. Then after that, we're going to look at the foundation of the Bible. What's the purpose of the Bible? You know it has 66 books, but did you know it only has one theme? That's what's miraculous about the Bible. All these authors, all of these different backgrounds, and they all have one theme. We're going to talk about what the theme of the Bible is. And then the third week is illumination. How can I see what God wants me to see? And when we get to that, we're going to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in understanding the Bible. How many know the Spirit and the Word go together? I'm talking to you here today. And so the Holy Spirit has a role in the Word of God in revealing God's Word to us. That's illumination. And then the fourth week is interpretation. How do I know what it means? And this is a hugely important week for you to be here, because we're going to teach you the right way to interpret the Bible, the classical way, the solid way of interpreting the Bible. Because some people say, well, Pastor, the Bible means that. Another group of people will say, well, the Bible means that. Well, how many know if you interpret the Bible correctly, that's good. But if you interpret the Bible incorrectly, that makes you part of a cult. So, I mean, that's fairly serious. We need to learn how to interpret the Bible correctly. Right? And then there's integration. How do I integrate God's Word into my life? Is the Bible just an ancient book of classic literature? How do I integrate it into work and life and relationships and finances and all those things? We're going to show you how to do that. And then the last week is application. How can I use God's Word effectively to make decisions, to defeat temptation, to help others? And that's where the true power of God's Word comes in, right? When we actually do the Word of God, when we apply the Word of God to our hearts. And so make sure that you're with us these next 6 weeks. You don't want to miss a single one. Matter of fact, our ushers have passed out an invite card for you to invite some other folks to join you, because I think the world realizes that we're on shifting sand and they're looking for a foundation they can rely on. And how many know this is the foundation of Jesus Christ that will last forever? Somebody say amen. So you take those invitation cards, go ahead and put your hands together and give God praise for His Word. Take those invitation cards, say, hey, join us for 40 days in the Word. It's going to be great. Now, the second part of this is the 40 daily devotions and the Bible studies. And this is where the real guts of 40 days in the Word is going to take place, because the challenge for everybody will be to read and study the Bible every day for how long? 40 days. Now, why 40 days? Most people tell us it takes about 40 days to establish a good habit. And so we're going to take 40 days of reading the Bible. You can do this 40 days in a row. Now, the workbooks that we're going to have for you as you leave today, you can purchase. It has 40 daily Bible studies that you can use. We're talking 15 to 20 minutes a day. These are not exotic Bible studies whatsoever, but it's helping you develop the daily habit of Bible study. Researchers tell us that the average Christian in America, a Bible-believing Christian in America, 18% of them read the Bible daily. How many of you believe that 18% of reading the Bible daily, that's a pretty good number? No, that's pretty sad. And that explains a lot about us. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching now. And this daily devotional component is about, you know, the old statement that says, if I give a man a fish, I've fed him for a day. But if I teach a man a fish, I'm fed him for a lifetime. The vision at our church, our goal, is to raise up a group of self-feeding, mature disciples, followers of Jesus. You don't want to be addicted to coming to church and having to hear what Pastor Wayne says all the time. It's great to do that. There's a role there. But you need to go straight to the source and get it from God's word. Somebody say amen. We're going to be studying the book of Mark, the book of Philippians, and the book of James. It's going to be awesome. And then another part of this is the small group Bible studies. Now, in the small group Bible studies, this is where we're going to learn the how-to of Bible studies. So we're going to be having videos that train everybody how to do a Bible study for yourself. How many know there's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible? And those are skills that we can teach. And so the small groups is where you're going to learn that. You're not going to learn that in any other part of this campaign. That's why everybody needs to be in a group these next 6 weeks. And so we're going to teach you the simplest Bible study method that's out there, the devotional method. And we're going to encourage everyone to be in a group. So if you're already in a group, let me encourage you, just attend your group this quarter. If you're not in a group, we're going to give you an opportunity on that card to fill out some information. And you give us the information. We'll plug you in with the right group this week. Somebody will contact you, and we'll start next Sunday. Now, if you'd like to start a group, well, first of all, we need a lot of new leaders to help us out. How many know about 50% of our church is in groups so far, which is a great number, but this 6 weeks, we want 100%. That means I need a lot of you to step up for 6 weeks and help me out. Should I have the altar call right now? Don't avoid eye contact with me. I'm looking at you. Me, you, and the Holy Spirit, we're having a conversation right now. All right? Help us out. In addition to that, some of you are thinking, you know what, Pastor? You know what would be cool is if I did this Bible study at work, or if I did this at school, or if I did this in my neighborhood, invited some of my neighbors to come. Guess what? Well, I want to encourage you to come today at 5 o'clock if you want to be a leader in the church, or if you want to lead a group outside the church for as an evangelism tool or something like that. 5 o'clock today. Everybody say 5 o'clock. Here at the church, we're going to show you how to do that. We'll give you a DVD and those types of things, and we'll show you how to do all of that. Because how many know this has great potential? People want to be part of this. And so the small group component is a big part of it. And this is, I'm not sure why, actually I do know why, but this area is the one that I seem to be getting the most buzz about. And that is the Bible memorization component, because we're going to challenge everybody to memorize 20 Bible verses. There are 20 Bible verses that every Christian should memorize. Now, the way this works is, throughout the series, we're going to have scripture quoting stations around the building. And if you can memorize and quote all 20 scriptures in one setting, that person is going to give you a ticket or an invitation to something that we're going to call one big party. And you can only come to the party if you quote 20 scriptures at one time, word for word, and they're listed in the workbook. And it's not whosoever will may come. It's whosoever will memorize those 20 scriptures and quote them at one time may come. And at that party, we're going to give away a big screen TV and some iPads and some Xboxes and some bicycles and some books and some weekends and stuff like that. All right? Hey, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm trying to get you excited about God's word. And we'll do whatever it takes to make it happen. So in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to participate in this campaign. And while you're thinking about that, I've invited Nathan Stratton to come and ask him to share his testimony concerning the power of studying God's word and the role that it plays in his life. Nathan is the leader of our sports ministry here at Grace. He's also an assistant football coach at Whiteland High School. Make him welcome.
Thank you. I was really happy for Pastor to ask me about this last week. In fact, I shared with him this story I'm about to tell you. He contacted me and asked me to put it to words, so I wrote this real quick, so I'd like to read it to you. I grew up in a Catholic school up in Fort Wayne, and if you don't know a lot about the Catholic religion, let's just say they don't encourage you to read the Bible on your own much. You are given lessons and sermons by the priest, but as far as doing your own reading, I can't remember too many times where that was part of my assignment. Now, growing up, I cannot remember a time when I did not believe in Jesus. I would not say I was always saved, there's a difference, or living the right way, but I never doubted in the authenticity of my Savior. In seventh grade, I stopped going to the Catholic school and the church as well. At that time, I can honestly say I knew very little about the Bible, although I could recite an entire Mass ceremony by heart. At that, I also knew all the prayers to all the different saints. As far as connecting that to the knowledge of the Bible, however, I was not given the tools to do so. I had many questions and was not given any answers by the leaders at the time. Fast forward 10 to 11 years, when I put the Catholic religion down, I never looked to pick anything else back up. I stopped going to church until I hit rock bottom and had a near-death experience in 1999. That night, the Lord got my attention in a big way. It was not always easy, but from that moment on, I was going to live for Him. I did that, kind of, for a few years. I was living two lives, living both for God and for this world. That all changed when I met my wife, Marlena. She really showed me the way to such a deeper relationship with the Lord. Since 2006, I have been reading my Bible in hopes to know God better and form a deeper relationship with my Savior. With the help of study Bibles, sermons, and TV shows on religious channels, I thought I was doing a pretty good job. This past summer, God finally talked me into doing something that He had been trying to get me to do for several years: go to school to study the Bible. At first, I did not think I needed to. I mean, I was pretty much already amazing at it between Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes. However, when I got there, it was pretty obvious I had much to learn. My first semester, I took two classes on interpreting the Bible properly, and I can honestly say that because of those two classes mixed along with my Old Testament survey class, I grew closer to God in those 3 months than in the entire time I tried to study the Bible on my own since 2006. I know that I'm not a Bible scholar right now, but I will say that knowing how to properly read God's Word is the most amazing thing that I have ever gone through in my life. Look at it this way. If having a relationship with Jesus is what you want, compare that to having a relationship with a friend or a significant other. You listen to them. You dedicate time towards them. You make them feel special. You do not only listen half-heartedly, and you do not take their words out of context, and you don't go days or weeks without talking to them. To have a relationship with the Lord, we must work at it like a relationship, any relationship that we've ever had, which means we need to get to know Him. That is what the Bible is. It is our way to get to know God. And trust me, if you have never gone through any type of class to teach you how to properly do it, you are missing out on the intimate part of who He is. Thank you.
If you have a Bible, I want you to go to the book of James. There are sermon notes in your bulletin. You can pull it out and follow along here today. Before we read the scripture of the book of James, most of you remember in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount with a story about two people who built houses. One person built their house on the sand. One person built their house on the rock. The Bible says that storms came to both houses, and the house that was built on the sand, does anybody remember what happened to it? The Bible says it fell down with a great crash. But Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like that wise man who built his house on the rock. The storms came, but it did not fall. Jesus says the wise man built his house on the rock. And the rock is the word of God and doing it. So how do we do that? How do we build our lives not on sand that is shift around and shaky? How do we build our lives on the Bible? How do we center our lives around the Bible? How do we make it an important part of our lives? Now, to answer that question, all we have to do is to see how God created us, how God wired us with five senses. We can hear, we can see, we can smell, we can taste, and we can touch. And today I want to show you how God wants us to use all five senses to experience the Bible. And matter of fact, we need to learn all five in building your life on the Bible. And in the next 40 days, we're going to use all of these areas to help us build our lives on the Bible. So the first way that I build my life on the Bible is I receive it with my ears. Everybody touch your ear. All right, touch your ear. So I receive it with my ears. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So anytime I hear the word of God preached or taught in church or a class or something like that, guess what the Bible says? Faith comes when I hear the message. So the role of hearing is to create faith. Matter of fact, that's what's happening right now. That's why we come to church. We hear the preaching of God's word. It creates faith in our hearts. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. Now, I want you to notice the first part of what James says. Everyone should be quick to listen. That means when it concerns the word of God, I need to use my ears, right? So that I can hear correctly the word of God, so that I can receive the word of God with my ears. Now, how many of you remember a time when TVs didn't have cables, they had antennas? Some of you may live in that experience now, but I remember when I was a child, we lived out in the boonies, the sticks. You had to go towards town to go hunting. I'm not kidding, you know. And so for our TV, we had an antenna outside, and my dad hooked the antenna on top of this 20-foot metal pole. And so in order for us to get good reception on the TV, we'd have to go out and turn the antenna toward Louisville if you wanted to get the Louisville stations, because we lived in Columbus, Indiana, toward Indianapolis if you want to get the Indianapolis stations. And we only got four channels. Let me know what I'm talking about. All right, back in the day, so to speak. When it was really cold outside, you did not want to be the dude that had to go turn the antenna, you know, sticking your tongue to it and all that stuff. We did all that. Come on, can I get a witness in the house of God? I'm not the only person that did something stupid like that. You know, it's the same way when it comes to receiving God's word with our ears. We need to have good reception. And look, the scripture from James gives us four good reception. I need to be, number one, quiet. If I'm going to receive God's word with my ears, I need to learn to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, here's a marriage tip for all you guys. When you're speaking, you're not listening. I know that's a deep thought, but when you're speaking, you are not listening, and she wants you to listen. I'm talking to myself, Pastor Wayne. She wants you to listen. Isn't that why we call, a lot of people call daily devotions or Bible studies, they call them a quiet time? Because if we're going to hear God's voice, we need to learn to be quiet. We've got to find a quiet place. And hopefully over these next 40 days, we will find a place, either a house or work or school, somewhere, a quiet place where we can hear the voice of God. The second thing James says, if you're going to receive it with your ears to get good reception, you need to be calm. He says, slow to become angry. Why? Because you don't hear much when you're angry. You don't hear much when you're upset or you're uptight. And when we come to God's word with a relaxed attitude, it increases our receptiveness. The scripture says, be still and know that I am God. James says, be quiet, be calm. And then he says, be clean. Get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. The Word of God a lot of times is compared to a seed, and our hearts are the soil. How many know if you plant good seed, you can use the same seed in two different pieces of ground, and one can yield a great crop, and the other can yield not so much. What's the difference? The difference is the soil. How many know before the seeding, many times there need to be some weeding of our hearts? We may need to take out the spiritual garbage of our hearts before we come to God's word, because if our ears are plugged up with moral filth and stuff and the issues of this world, we're going to have a hard time hearing the voice of God. How do I get rid of the stuff that stinks in my life? Easy. It's called confession. I come to God just like Psalm 51. Search me, O God, and agree with God concerning what you did. And these simple words, God, I'm sorry. And guess what? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. Does that say some of our unrighteousness? No, he says all of our unrighteousness. Is that good news? So James says, be clean. And then he says, be humble. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Wow. You see the role of the word of God in saving us, right? But the Bible says, receive it humbly. What does it mean to be humble? How do you approach the word of God with humility? Here's how. You approach the word of God by saying, God, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. The opposite approach is to approach God's word with pride and arrogance that says, oh, God, I'll read your word, but I'm not so sure I'm going to do it. How many know there's a difference? So if we're going to receive God's word with our ears, we need these spiritual hearing aids. Be quiet, be calm, be clean, and be humble. Somebody say amen. So hearing is the first way that we receive God's word, that we build our life on the Bible. But it's not the only way. As a matter of fact, it's not even enough to build your life on the Bible, because researchers tell us that we forget 95% of what we hear within 2 hours. I'm just going to tell you that as a preacher, that's very depressing to me. That 2 hours from now, you're not going to even be able to recall what I say or what God says. So we don't just use our ears. The second way I build my life on the Bible is I read it with my eyes. Everybody point to your eyeball. Don't hurt yourself. Don't poke yourself in the eye. But your eye. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word. That's not enough. And so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, the whole reason that we are doing 40 days in the Word is because I want you to be blessed in all that you do. I would like 2013 to be the most blessed year that you and your family have ever had. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Why are we doing 40 days in the Word? Why are we doing small groups like that? Why are we doing blah, 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 blah? Because I want you to be blessed with every spiritual blessing. I want your testimony to be in June of 2013 and December of 2013. As I look back over the past year, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. If you are part of this, God's Word says you'll be blessed. In this passage, God's Word is compared to a mirror, right? And what's the purpose of a mirror anyway? The purpose of a mirror is to evaluate ourselves. Every one of us probably did it this morning, right? We looked at the mirror this morning, assessing the damage of the night before. And we conducted an evaluation of what needed to change before we walked out the door. Thankfully, some of us brushed our hair. Some of us brushed our teeth, combed our hair. Some of you put makeup on. That's amazing, isn't it? Because I remember my mom telling me stories. She got saved when she was 18 or 19. And boy, they preached to get hard against makeup. And now we realize years later, it's a gift from the Lord. Some of you looking, I can't believe what kind of church I'm coming to here today. Did you know that Queen Elizabeth, the first Queen Elizabeth, as she got older, she lost her beauty. And as a result, she gave an order that all mirrors be removed from the palace because she didn't want to have to face the wrinkles and the age that was changing how she looked. And sadly, a lot of us are like Queen Elizabeth. We don't read the Bible because we just don't want it to reveal who we really are. We don't want to come to face with us. And the problem is, just because you remove the mirrors doesn't change anything about you. God's word gives us a mirror so that he can change us. Somebody say amen. God's word is like a mirror. It reflects what I look like on the inside. Now, how many know there are two ways that you can look at a mirror? The first way is to glance at a mirror. Now, teenagers do this very well. They just look, boom, I'm gone. All right? It's kind of like the Fonz. He walks to the mirror. Hey! I'm good. And some of us approach our study of God's word that way. Okay, God, I got 5 minutes. Flip, flip, flip. What's the shortest psalm in the Bible? There it is. Boom, boom, boom. I'm there and I'm gone. Doesn't have much effect. You forget about it. It goes away. But the second way you can look at a mirror is to gaze intently. That's what the scripture says. Look intently into the word of the law. Look at the details. My wife has, you know, the mirror in our bathroom. It's, you know, it's probably normal size for everybody else. But then she has this little handheld mirror that on one side it's really magnified. On the other side it's just freakishly magnified. I mean, you look in your face, you know, and I'm staring at that like, man, I got holes in my face. They're everywhere. You've never done that? I'm like, man, who would want to look in this thing ever? God does not want us to glance at his word. God wants us to gaze into his word, to look intently into the word of the law. And that's why this campaign is so important, because we're not just going to read the Bible, we're going to learn how to study the Bible. In our small groups, we're going to learn how to systematically study the Bible, to have a Bible reading plan, because I want to receive God's word with my ears and I want to read God's word with my eyes. Somebody say amen. The third way I build my life on the Bible is I research it with my hands. Everybody raise your hands right here. And my mouth, point to your mouth. I research it with my hands and my mouth. So we're talking about Bible study. There's a great difference between Bible reading and Bible study. It's not studying unless I have a pen or a pencil in my hand writing something down. When I write it down and I talk to others about it, I'm studying it. So write this down. Bible study requires two things: writing down what I learn and talking about what I learn. Again, that's another reason everybody needs to be part of the small groups, because not only are we going to learn how to study the Bible, we're going to talk about what we're learning. John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures because you believe they give you eternal life, and the scriptures point to me. There's a difference between reading the scriptures and searching the scriptures. Acts 17, verse 11. The people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth. Well, my prayer is that in these next 40 days, we would become like those Bereans, eagerly searching through God's word, because that wasn't a Bible, that wasn't just a discussion. They were having a study, a small group study about God's word to see if what Paul said was really true. Now, let me just pause right here for a second and say, this world is full of wackos. And some of them are on television. And if we're not careful, we're going to fall for a bunch of baloney. But you won't if you learn to be that person who searches the scriptures. Does the Bible really say that? Because we got some people who are very reckless with God's word, proof texting everything, giving one line. Well, Bible says, well, yeah, but let's read the rest of the Bible and let it all speak for itself, right? This is big stuff. This is important stuff. You got to learn how to research it with your hands and your mouth. The fourth way I build my life on the Bible is I review and remember it with my mind. Point to your brain if you have one, by faith. James 1:25, the man who looks intently into the perfect law and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. So if we're going to be blessed, we need to learn to not forget God's word. How do we not forget God's word? We review it and we remember it. Now, if you want to make the quickest spiritual transformation in your life, if you are serious about growing closer to Jesus, if you are serious about spiritual discipline in your life, I want to challenge you to begin to take seriously this idea of memorizing God's word. Many Bible teachers will tell you that one of the most powerful things you can do, habits you can develop, is the habit of memorizing scripture, hiding God's word in your heart. Well, why do I need to do that? Because have you noticed that whenever you need the Bible, it's not around? You know, you have this opportunity to share Christ with your friends, your neighbors, or your coworkers, and you're like, where's that in the Bible? I know I read it somewhere. No, you got to hide it in your heart and let the Holy Spirit anoint it. It comes out of your mouth as a two-edged sword, and it cuts people to the heart and draws them to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? So we need to, James says, continue to do this. We're talking about reviewing and continuing, thinking about it over and over. And he says, not forgetting. So we're talking about memorizing scripture. Pastor, I can't memorize scripture. You know what? You can memorize anything that's important to you. You memorize phone numbers of people that are important to you. You remember dates that are important to you. At least most of you guys do. We're praying for the rest of you. Pastor, I can't remember anything, but you can quote the lyrics from the songs they played in high school. And for some of you, that was 100 years ago. Song comes on, bam, you know every word. You know baseball statistics, you know scores, you know averages, you know stock quotes. Come on, let's get real. We can memorize anything that's important to us. And here's what you need to know. You're not too old to memorize, because memorizing is a muscle. Your brain is a muscle. And the more you exercise it, the better you're going to get at it. Listen, and let me make this promise to you. This is a money-back guarantee. Memorizing scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas. I did a big, huge paper about Junior Bible Quiz years ago, and one of the testimonies that parents told me many, many times was as their kids learned to memorize the scripture, it improved their skills at school. I'm just saying. So it'll make you smarter. And some of you ladies are looking at your husbands like, you got to do this now. He said it'd make you smarter. In their 40 days in the Word, we're going to challenge everybody to memorize at a minimum of 6 verses, one per week. The children, teenagers, us, we're all going to learn the same verse every week. And the real challenge is going to learn, memorize all 20 of those verses. You can do it, and you'll be blessed for it. Now let's go to number 5. The fifth way I build my life on the Bible is I respond to it with my actions. I respond to it with my actions. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And this is big, because it says, don't deceive yourself. How do you deceive yourself? Well, you deceive yourself because we deceive ourselves because we think, well, if I hear something, I got it. Now, you know, I could sit down with a man and say, Pastor, I'd like to learn more about being a godly father, a godly husband. I could tell you, and you could hear me. But until you start doing it, you're deceiving yourself. You could go sit down at the beginning of the year with a financial counselor and say, you need to do this budget. You need to prioritize your finances this way, tithing, giving, blah, 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 go down the road. You can hear it all day long. But until you start actually doing it, you are deceiving yourselves. Amen. Do you realize that you only believe the parts of the Bible you actually do? Pastor, I believe the Bible. Really? Because you only really believe the ones that you're actually doing. We're supposed to be doers of the word, not just hearers. How do I build my life on the Bible? I don't just hear it. I don't just see it. I don't just research it and study it. I do it. I respond to it with my actions. I want you to notice that in today's message, every point has a verb in it. I read it. I receive it, I read it, I research it, I review and remember it, I respond. Because it's not about hearing only, it's about doing something. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. but it did not fall. Do you see that? It did not fall. Because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and goes to church and just listens to Pastor Wayne preach, but doesn't put it into practice, is a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain comes down, the streams rose, and the winds blow and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I don't want that to happen to you. In 2013 or 2014 or however long till Jesus comes back, we don't know the storms that are coming to your life in the next year. We don't know the storms that are coming to our nation in the next year. But we do know this, Jesus said it, that if your life is not built on the rock, you'll crumble. Let me be real clear. There are some people sitting here this morning that 12 months from now, you won't recognize your life. You will fall apart. And today, God is offering you a fork in the road. It is what it is. God is saying, I want you to take some serious steps toward building your life on the foundation that will never be shaken, because storms are going to come to all of us. Who's going to last? Who's going to make it? Jesus said, those who build their house on the rock. Somebody say amen. Dawson Trotman is the founder of the Navigators Bible Studies. A lot of guys in our church have participated in those Navigator studies. And you probably know that he uses an illustration about God's word using your hand. And so if we use our hand as an illustration of the five senses of how we experience God's word, what we just talked about, hearing, seeing, researching, reviewing, all those types of things, it kind of gives us an illustration of how we experience God's word. So let's just say that my fingers are the way that we experience God's word. So let's just say I hear God's word. I receive it with my ears. So if all your Bible intake is just hearing it, and you don't get any other Bible intake except when you come to church or just hearing it somewhere else, it's like holding on to the Bible with your pinky. Now, it's good. You got some of God's word. But how many know as soon as you leave church, it's going to be easy for the devil just to knock that out of your hand? Because it's just kind of precarious. It's just kind of there, and I'll have to pick up all my stuff later. But I don't just hear it, but you know what? I read it with my eyes. I read it every day. Now, that's better than just hearing it. And I've got a hold of it with my pinky and my next finger, and that's okay, but again, not as strong as it could be. But what if I didn't just hear it, but I read it and I research it with my hand and my mouth, and I review and remember it, and I respond to it with my actions? This is the kind of grip that I have on God's word, and there is no demon in hell that's going to take it away from me. Is this what you want? Do you want to be like this? Or do you want to be like this? Because this campaign, this emphasis, I realize you don't have time, you're busy. Got it, I understand. But God is here today to tell you, this is the most important thing in your life. So today I want to challenge you. The altar call is that card on your chair that I want you to take in your hand right now. In the next 40 days, we're going to show you how to do all five of those things regularly. Read it with your eyes, hear it with your ears, research it, review it, memorize it, respond with your actions. But the only way that you're going to benefit from that is if you participate. And I'm going to ask every teenager to fill out a card, every man to fill out a card, every woman to fill out a card. We printed enough cards for everybody. And if you would say, Pastor, I want to be part of this. I believe that this is God's opportunity for me in my life. Maybe together as a family, you're going to make a commitment to do this, and perhaps you can do the Bible studies together. I've had a lot of families testify that's how they're going to do it. That's great. But individually, I want you to make a decision today. First of all, I want you to put your name on there, legibly. And then on that first box, say, you know what, I'm going to be here the next 6 Sundays. Now, why do I need to make a commitment like that? Well, because our American culture has started to train us that church attendance has become optional. And you don't want to miss any part of this. So for the next 6 weeks, be here every 6 weeks. There's going to be opportunities and things for you to miss. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm not. I made a commitment. I'm going to be there the next 6 Sundays. Mark that down. We'll be there. Now, the second area that we're going to ask you to mark on that card is I'll join a small group. Now, I realize that for some of you, this is just stinking huge. Join a small group? Are you kidding me? Now, here's the good news. About half of our church are already in small groups. So if you mark that and say, I'm going to join a small group, I'm going to ask you to write, if you're already part of a group, write down the name of your group leader. And if you don't know the name of your group leader, you're probably not really part of their group. It's kind of like people say, well, Pastor, I go to church. Where do you go to church? Blah, 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 blah. What's the pastor's name? You may not have been to church there in a while. Okay? So if you're going to join a small group, check that box and write down the name of your leader. If you don't know, if you're not already part of a group, here's the good part. We're going to create lots of new groups this next 6 weeks and add to existing groups. And if you're not part of a group, I'm going to ask you to take the back of that card and fill out that information, your name, your address. Please fill out all the information, your cell number, email, your age, your family status, how many children under the age of 12, if you need childcare, and the different groups that interest you. Now, here's an amazing thing about our church is we have groups for widows. We have groups for ladies only, men only. So we have Spanish-speaking groups, young married groups, couples, families, seniors, single parents, young adults. We have more small groups now than we had people than when we started pastoring here. I'm just saying. Isn't God good? It's awesome. Middle school groups, high school groups, teenagers, fill this out. All right? And we will, Pastor Phil will help you find a group, and we'll help you find a group this week. And like I said, if you'd like to do a lead a group in the church, we need your help. We need you here today at 5 o'clock. So mark that box. I'll join a small group. If you're not part of the group, you're going to miss a lot of this, of the tools and the training, and I know you want to be part of it. Again, not asking you to do it till Jesus comes, just for the next 6 weeks. And then that third one is I'm going to participate in the daily Bible studies. And here's where the power comes in, because we're going to actually develop the habit of studying the Bible. Now, you're going to need to purchase a workbook on your way out to do that. In the workbook are the 40 daily Bible studies, the verses that you need to memorize and those types of things. And so it is $10. So if you purchase the book, encourage you to do it. Teenagers, if you can, purchase the book for yourself. It'll be great. The children are going to be provided with their own stuff upstairs from Pastor Jason. Junior hires are going to be provided with stuff from Pastor Phil. So high schoolers and adults, purchase a group. Purchase a book. Now, if you say, you know what, I'd like to purchase a book and give a little bit extra in case somebody at our church can't afford it, then please do that. And if you can't afford it, let them know they're at the table. And we've already got some great people who have already done that. So 1, 2, 3, and then put your name there. This is the altar call. Your future hangs in the balance here at the beginning of 2013. Jesus said, actually, the Old Testament puts it this way. I set before you today life and death. Here's the no-brainer of all time. Choose life. Choose God's word. I love what Janie said last week. I love what Nathan said today. It will transform you. And so Pastor Steve is going to share this song as he sings it. I want you to finish filling out this card. And then Pastor Tim is going to come and receive our offering today. And you're going to give tithes and offerings. And you can put this card as your response there. And then for the next 6 weeks, we're going to get ready for God to do something wonderful in our lives. Amen. God bless you.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. At the center of it